Cover your butt, birds, because the answer of the week is back. Every week at about this time, Joe Patrick and I sit down and we look at your answers to the question of the week. But before we can get started, what was that question? What did we ask these nerds, Joe?
This week's question was a little different. The challenge was, pick a character, then give us your definitive artist for that character.
I like it.
Most people could not help themselves and gave us a million answers.
Well, what can you do?
What can you do? It's fun.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Let's get into it, man. Let's get messy. Let's get these damn shirts off.
That's your domain.
Yeah. Shirts off.
We're going to do this one a little differently. Rather than have Matt and I give our answers at the end of the show like we usually do, and since you guys are probably going to pick characters that we would also pick, we're just going to address your answers with our own as we go along. So, getting right to it.
Deal with it.
Let's start, as we do, with the tweeters. We got one tweeter answer from Andrew Merzak, ever faithful, Lobo Simon Bisley.
Yeah.
I got nothing to compete with that.
No, when I picture Lobo, that's what I see.
Yeah, I see that cover of Lobo number one miniseries from 1980, whatever, where it's close up on his face and he's got one bug eye and he's... Yeah.
The Lobo's Back cover where it's like he's got a sexy girl butt for some reason.
And he's pointing at his back.
Yeah.
Was that Simon Bisley?
Yeah, that was
Bisley. Lobo's Back?
I believe so.
Well, that's it for the tweeters.
All right. Thanks, Twitter.
Thank Andrew. Thank Andrew. All right. Katie Coleman writes in saying, Amanda Connor and Power Girl. And I have to agree, I don't really have anything better than that for Power Girl.
I think Amanda Connor definitely drew my favorite Power Girl.
Yeah, for sure.
Hands
and
down.
Like, I mean, I guess the only thing I could come at with to combat that is Leonard Kirk from his run on JSA.
Yeah. I mean, that was really cool. But, I mean, when we're talking just Power Girl, she's only had a couple series. She's had a few miniseries here and there. I think Amanda Connor definitely did.
I think Amanda Connor did the definitive version even more so than like the people that created her in the 70s. So, yeah, I think that's a great answer. Two thumbs up. John Mitchell. I can't remember.
I know John.
Do you know John?
Yeah, I know John. Grew up next to him.
Are we welcoming him aboard?
Maybe. Let's welcome him aboard anyway.
Welcome aboard, John.
Nice guy, John Mitchell.
I've read comics for a long time, but I remember first noticing the artwork when I saw Todd McFarlane drawing Spider-Man. There are specifically two style choices that make McFarlane work so well for Spidey. First, he draws him impossibly flexible, but it seems natural for the character to be so. Second is the way he reinvented the webbing. Before, the webbing either looked like a rope or had a flat cross-hatched look to it. McFarlane still used a rope look, but had organic tendrils that wrapped around.
Yeah, it was all knotty and lumpy.
Yep, for a real unique and natural look, I think most artists for the webhead adopted this look after McFarlane. Totally agree about that.
He's completely right.
And McFarlane is a great answer, but he is not my definitive Spider-Man artist.
Who's your definitive Spider-Man artist?
When I think of a Spider-Man, I tend to think of John Romita Jr.
Really?
Yep. Because he had a long run in the 80s, and then he came back in the 90s and did it even into the 2000s. So
he had an even longer run in the 90s, did
John
he?
Romita Jr. has drawn more issues of Spider-Man, I think, than any other person.
Fair enough.
I also tend to think of Sal Buscema, who drew Spectacular Spider-Man for most of its run. And even though his version is a little maybe less mainstream than others, for me, that's what I see because I read that book a lot.
Sure. I think I got to go with Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just thinking back, I remember buying those and just, like, staring at the cover. I never read Spider-Man as a kid. Like, I read Batman, I read X-Men and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was aware of Spider-Man. I liked him, you know? Yeah. But I remember seeing the Todd McFarlane covers as, like, a young nerd and just, like, dropping a load. Holy shit, that is cool.
I think the difference for me is that I didn't really read most of those McFarlane Spider-Mans until I was older.
Okay.
You know, that wasn't the book that I followed necessarily, especially not at that point in the 90s.
I think that was Amazing Spider-Man, where he jumped on, was really where I jumped on. And Spider-Man number one was just like a religious experience for me. It was amazing.
The good thing about Spider-Man is there are a lot of artists that can be considered definitive.
Sure.
I will say that other than John Romita Jr., I also, you know, occasionally picture the Mark Bagley Spider-Man because he was associated with the character for so long that his art is used in like Spider-Man promotional material.
Yeah, right.
So like when you see Spider-Man on a shirt or on the package for a toy. Yeah, at least a few years ago, 90% chance it was drawn by Mark Bagley.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true.
John, nope, we did John. This is John number two, John Boucher, whose answers always tickle me. I think we can all agree that Mateus Santoluoco draws the definitive boy chimney.
I don't know what that means.
That's from Dial H.
Oh, boy chimney.
From the first issue of Dial H,
so gross.
Where the dude turns into this horrifying chimney man.
That was so gross.
I know, but that's a funny answer, and I can't disagree.
No, it's, yeah. Yeah, it's really funny.
Also, probably like the only artist to draw boy chimney.
Pretty sure.
Brian Domingos chimes in, saying Scott McDaniel cut the ponytail and gave us 40 straight awesome issues of Nightwing. He and Chuck Dixon redefined Dick Grayson for the 90s, and the look has stayed relatively intact for almost 20 years. I totally agree.
Scott McDaniel, yeah.
I have, like, I don't think of anything else when I think of
Now, here's
Nightwing.
What's sad. It's like Scott McDaniel was so amazing on that book, and then his work just went downhill after he left.
Yeah, a little bit.
And to the point where I didn't even like it anymore. Now, I mean, I think he's gone.
He doesn't draw much these days, if anything at all.
Yeah, which is too bad. He was like a Howard Porter. Like, they were both working at the same time. They were both absolutely incredible. And then they both just kind of fell off, you know? But yeah, definitive Nightwing.
Yeah, I totally agree, Brian.
Hands down. Excellent answer.
John Fitter says, for me, Frank Miller's Daredevil and George Perez's Teen Titans are the standards for those characters.
Do we just have three Johns in a row?
No, we had two Johns, a Brian and a John.
Okay. We've just had three Johns.
There are three. Yes.
Gotcha.
In a short amount of time, we had three Johns.
A lot of Johns. Anyway. I had three Johns last night. I'm still sore.
Oh, my God. Frank Miller's Daredevil and George Perez's Teen Titans. Yeah.
No. You know what?
I don't know if Frank Miller's my definitive Daredevil.
He's not my definitive Daredevil. John Romita Jr. is my definitive Daredevil.
I think Lee Weeks is my definitive Daredevil.
I love Lee Weeks.
Michael Lark also. Michael Lark.
Yeah.
And or Alex Maleev. They're very similar in style. But yeah, I think for me it's Lee Weeks just because that was my first main, like, repetitive exposure to Daredevil was Lee Weeks at the time.
He's a total badass.
And he still got it today.
John Romita draws my favorite Daredevil.
I do love John Romita.
Love the way he drew that book, man.
Anna Sentage wrote those, you know?
I know, and I loved them. They were fantastic. Like,
he
fought
Mephisto.
It was great. No, he didn't fight Mephisto. He fought Blackheart.
He fought a vacuum cleaner that came to life and tried to eat him.
It was ridiculous. Well, all New York went nuts.
It's Inferno.
Yeah, it was the Inferno thing.
Forget it, Jake. It's Inferno.
Everything turned into demons. Daredevil was like in a bed all bandaged up, wounded, and just like sort of came to life and became this like demon killer. Like, wouldn't speak, like, completely silent demon killer, and it was awesome.
George Perez's Teen Titans, I would agree with that.
You have to.
For the classic interpretations
you
of the characters.
To. Yeah.
I also really enjoyed Mike McCone's Teen Titans.
Yeah.
In the later years.
But not definitive.
It was a different crowd. It was Superboy.
Close your eyes. Picture the Teen Titans.
Well, I just said Mike McCone, so that's
no, no, I have you, but I mean, there it is. It's George Perez. It's the first thing that pops up.
It really is.
Jericho and his dumb sideburns, you know? Nightwing with the disco collar. It was hot.
Yeah, I call it Nightwing.
Yeah.
Gregory Litchfield writes in, he's got quite a few. An easy answer to this would be to name a character that was written, drawn, and created by a singular writer and artist. Examples of my favorites are Cerebus by Dave Sim, Scout by Tim Truman, The Goon by Eric Powell, The Rocketeer by Dave Stevens, Sam and Max by Steve Purcell, Hannah Dundee from Xenozoic Tales by Mark Schultz, Vanth Dreadstar by Jim Starlin, and Mad Men by Mike Allred, to name but a few. The difficult answer is to pick a single Marvel and DC character, so I'll cheat and pick several.
Fair enough.
The Thing by Jack Kirby and Joe Sinnott, Spider-Man by John Romita Sr., Conan by Barry Windsor Smith.
He's doing some digging. I love the Conan choice.
Thor by John Buscema. Shang-Chi by Paul Gulacy. Thanos by Jim Starlin. Daredevil by Frank Miller. Nick Fury by Jim Steranko. Dracula by Gene Colan. Batman by Neil Adams. Superman by John Byrne. Green Arrow by Mike Grell. And Wonder Woman by Brian Boland. I could have named dozens, but these are just some of my favorites. Some of these I want to get to a little later because they'll come up again. For me, though, I think of John Byrne's Thing, not Jack Kirby's Thing.
That's a tough one. I mean, I think you're probably right.
One time, John Byrne showed me his thing.
I heard about that. And then he punched you off the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an angry guy.
He came in with his thing out and punched you off the toilet.
I have to go.
Like, oh, John Byrne, no. That was me getting punched off the toilet. Sound effects.
Yes. We talked about Spider-Man. Oh, well, give me your thing. What do you think?
My definitive thing.
And I will, to be perfectly honest, I have not read a huge chunk of the old Kirby FFs.
I read a lot of it. I own the Marvel Omnibus thing.
But for me, John Byrne, the Fantastic Four that I see in my head is the John Byrne Fantastic Four.
I just love the Jack Kirby thing. He was so ridiculous.
It's great. It is great. Like, there's no denying it. It's just, it's all about, you know, what I think your first experience with these characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, where you were in your life when you started reading them.
Which would have been John Byrne for me as well. But he doesn't draw my favorite thing.
Thor by John Buscema. I know that you don't agree with that.
No, I'm Thor by Walt Simonson.
I haven't read a huge amount of Walt Simonson's Thor, but I can't help but think of Walt Simonson when I think of Thor.
Yeah. I mean, I love Walt Simonson's Thor.
Like, if you tell me, if you say Thor, the first thing I will think of is Beta Ray Bill smashing the Thor logo.
Yeah, right on. That's one of my favorite covers.
Which I grant you is not a drawing of Thor, but still.
Still totally rad. Guy invented Beta Ray Bill, too.
Yeah.
One of my favorite characters.
Shang-Chi by Paul Gulacy, totally. Though other artists have done him well. I think of the Bruce Lee likeness Shang-Chi that Paul Gulacy drew is definitely what I think of.
Sorry, I tweeted.
You tweeted?
I tweeted.
I'm all over the place.
Yeah. You've got to go Paul Gulacy with Shang-Chi. You have to.
Thanos by Jim Starlin is a good answer, but I don't agree. When I think of Thanos, I think of Ron Lim.
I do too.
Who drew the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, I just picture those covers. It's right there.
And you know what? He actually only drew the last 2.5 issues of Infinity Gauntlet.
He drew the covers, though.
No, he did not.
He didn't?
He drew the covers to 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, I thought he drew all the covers.
Infinity Gauntlet 1, 2, and 3, interior art and covers, were drawn by George Perez.
Really?
Yes. And then George Perez drew the first half of number 4, and Ron Lim did the rest. But he was also drawing Silver Surfer at that time. Now, I don't know why they switched artists in midstream, but that is definitely what I think of. That wrinkled chin, editing grin,
yeah.
Toothy,
yeah.
You know, glowy-eyed Ron Lim Thanos every single time I think of the character. Nick Fury by Jim Steranko. I'll give you that. I've never read Nick Fury's solo book.
I have. And I loved it. I love the Steranko Nick Fury, but I don't think he's my definitive Nick Fury.
I'm my Nick Fury is different. I don't know if I have a definitive Nick Fury because he shows up in so many books drawn by so many different people.
Yeah.
That
I picture Nick Fury, I picture John Byrne drawing him. Mm-hmm. Because he was in the FF so much. I mean, yeah. I picture John Byrne's Nick Fury.
I would probably say my definitive Nick Fury is the Mike Zeck. Because he was drawing Captain America in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And Captain America was constantly hanging out with Nick Fury. And,
you know what? I think you're right. You're right. I think it's probably Mike Zeck.
Because big barrel-chested blue jumpsuit with the gold holster thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that is my definitive version of Dum Dum Dugan.
And he was in every issue of that.
He was in most issues.
I bet Mike Zeck has drawn him more than anyone in the world.
Could be. Dracula by Gene Colan. Totally agree. Tomb of Dracula, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're just going to touch on a couple more real quick from Greg. Green Arrow. Do you agree with Mike Grell as your definitive Green Arrow?
No.
My definitive Green Arrow is Phil Hester.
That's not my definitive Green Arrow either. This is a tough one. Maybe Eduardo Barreto?
Okay, sure.
That's what I picture because that's when I started reading the book.
All right, that's fair.
Eduardo Barreto. That's why, definitely. And I love that guy. I miss him. He's dead, for those who don't know what I'm talking about. He died.
Thank you.
He did.
All right, let's just jump ahead to Batman, because our next one is from Ben Kingslayer. He says, Bruce Timm for Batman. It was the first version of Batman I saw, and the definitive one in my mind. It's the reason I got into comics and the reason I became a Batman fan. A little later on, our buddy Craig Hoffman writes in saying, Word, nerds! There are a lot of characters that I associate with certain artists. For me, Batman has always been a favorite of mine, and the artist that is my definitive for Batman has to be Norm Breivogel.
Yeah.
That's a real good one.
There might be some rolling of eyes out there, but I'll explain. To me, Breyfogle's take on The Dark Knight was really exciting. The way he elongated the form of Batman and made it more than a guy in a costume.
He was really the first guy to do that, right? To really give Batman that spooky, like,
where he's kinda
super
like
long
over.
Cape. Yeah, yeah, like, he was the first guy to do that, I think.
He gave Batman the creepiness and the edge he needed. He made us see the Bat the way Gotham's criminals saw him, a big, scary thing you did not want to f*** with, and for that, I love him.
Yeah.
That is a great answer. Bruce Timm is also a great answer.
Bruce Timm's an excellent answer, Batman, but it's like two different Batmen.
It is almost like two different Batmen. For me, my definitive Batman is Jim Aparo.
You know what? Jim Aparo is my definitive Green Arrow. He's absolutely my definitive Green Arrow.
Okay.
I loved Jim Aparo in that book. He didn't write a whole lot of it, but he was great. Wrote a few issues.
Drew?
Pardon me. He didn't draw a lot of it, but he was great there. Drew a few issues here and there.
For me, Jim Aparo is... I don't associate any artist with Batman as much as I associate Jim Aparo, even though other artists had more famous runs, like, you know, Neil Adams. And I definitely have a soft spot in my heart for Bruce Timm and Norm Breyfogle.
Yeah.
But when I think of Batman, when I think of my Batman, I think of the barrel-chested, you know, it's like a, like, you know, Grant Morrison once put it, though he was talking about Neil Adams, you know, the love god, you know, barrel-chested love god Batman.
Silver Age love god,
that would, you know, be in the light when he needed to be and then be in the shadows when he needed to be. This was predated the scary urban legend Batman that was popular in the late 80s and 90s.
I like Jim Aparo answer a lot.
Yeah, that's my jam.
That. I might have to go there. I don't know. I'm trying to... I mean, it's definitely not Frank Miller. I love what Frank Miller did, but he's not what I picture when I think of Batman. He's not my definitive Batman, you know. I do like the Neil Adams a lot, like the Neil Adams call a lot too, though. I really like
Well,
that.
Sure. For a lot of people, Neil Adams is the definitive
Batman. I don't know that I could pick between those two, truthfully. I don't know.
I'm giving it to Jim.
I have to abstain.
But coward.
I can't do it. I can't pick one.
I do love Craig's Norm Breyfogle answer and the way he described it.
That's a great answer.
It is dead on, perfectly accurate.
Yeah.
Buzzy Brown Brennan. This is a difficult one. I actually enjoy seeing different artists' interpretations of characters. That being said, drink. I'm going to have to go with Lobo.
No, it's just that said, not that being said. That said.
It's close enough.
That said.
Drink. I'm going to have to go with Lobo, drawn by Simon Bisley, which was what Andrew said a little earlier. Even though sometimes I can't help but feel that I'm looking at a black and white photo of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Totally.
Keith Giffen created the guy, but he was pretty ridiculous looking in the beginning with that two-tone unitard. And of course, there was Infanticide. Lobo Infanticide, I think, was a comic?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Infanticide was a four-issue miniseries, I believe.
Sam Keith drew him...
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Sam Keith drew Lobo Infanticide.
He's transitioned. He was talking about Simon Bisley. Now we're talking about Sam Keith.
Yes.
Sam Keith drew him the way Sam Keith draws everybody. I know there's been others, but no one stands out in my mind. Yeah, I mean, Lobo is at his best when he's that hulking maniac-looking dude.
Yeah.
And Simon Bisley and Sam Keith do that better than almost anybody.
It's their bread and butter.
Absolutely.
They draw professional wrestlers.
David Guffey. Welcome aboard, David.
I think so. Welcome aboard, Dave.
He says, I've always been partial to the way John Byrne draws the Thing.
There's another vote for John Byrne's Thing. Yeah. I'm still trying to come up with my definitive Thing. This is tough. I mean, it's knee-jerk reaction to say Jack Kirby.
Well, that's fine. Say Jack Kirby, then.
But that's not... I don't know.
Don't be such a goddamn coward.
I can't help it. You know who draws my favorite Thing? Arthur Adams.
Okay, great.
I love the way he draws the Thing, but also he barely ever does it, so he can't really be considered the definitive Thing artist. You know, I'm trying to think of someone that had a run on the book, did some stuff that... Mike Waringo. Mike Waringo's Thing was awesome. Loved it. Man, I could look at Mike Waringo's Thing all day.
R.I.P. We're doing justice to his memory.
He's also dead.
Camarillo Brillo, who I believe we'll hear from later, wrote in saying, the only real answer is the character/organ, Penis, by Howard Chaykin.
Fair enough.
He then says, please don't read this on air.
Sorry.
Which, come on now.
Sorry, Cam. Unedited show.
Amy Kohler. Welcome aboard, Amy. Friend of Camarillo Brillo.
Oh. Nice job. Recruiting girls.
That's right. I think Scotty Young's work on Oz would have to be my favorite. The story itself is cute and funny. The way he portrayed each character just adds to it. I would not have enjoyed it as much had the art been done more realistically. To be fair, I love most of Scotty Young's work. His alternate covers of the babies are awesome, especially Spidey.
Man.
He should do an entire comic just with baby Spidey.
Ugh.
I think that that is a great answer.
It's a great answer, and I like Scotty Young. He's very talented. I can't stand baby superheroes. I hate it. I hate baby superheroes. There.
It's just a fun visual.
It's out there. I hate it.
God. Amy, thanks
hated
for
the
writing.
Muppet babies. Hated the Flintstone kids. Hate it.
What?
I didn't hate the Muppet babies.
No, nobody hates the Muppet babies.
I really liked the Muppet babies.
Amy, thanks for your answer. I think Scotty Young's work on Oz is absolutely definitive, and I can't argue with it.
Oh, yeah. He was. I remember when I heard he was going to do it, I thought it was a really weird choice, and then I saw it and went, well, yeah, there it is. I mean, wow.
Christopher McLucas, Christopher the Baristopher, writes in saying, Martian Manhunter, Frank Quietly. He looked perfect in JLA Earth 2.
Howard Porter did my definitive Martian Manhunter.
And if for me, if it's not Howard Porter, it's Tom Mandrake who drew the ongoing series.
Yeah.
But I think Howard Porter is my definitive, at the very least, my favorite.
He just nailed
Martian Manhunter. He is the guy. He's the guy, and I never saw anything like it, and I've never seen it since. He is the guy that created the shape-changing visual where it's the Martian Manhunter like breaking into small pieces reforming as a new thing.
Really cool.
I love that addition.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And I've never seen anybody else replicate it.
He also kind of made his forehead a little more pronounced too.
Well, I love that huge forehead.
I do too. I thought it looks rad.
Yeah.
A lot of other people drew him as like a green man, like a human.
It was in the 80s, maybe the 70s and 80s where it became more pronounced, but Howard Porter like really went to town.
Howard Porter drew him like an alien, and I really liked it.
Yeah, totally. And I think Frank Quietly's Earth 2 is fine.
I love Frank Quietly, don't get me wrong.
But for me, Howard Porter is hands down my number one Martian Manhunter.
He might be my definitive JLA artist, period.
Maybe.
As far as like people drawing the JLA, I think he has my favorite run.
Well, you know what? We're going to touch on that here
We'll get there.
Andrew McBride says, Silver Surfer, Ron Lim. Totally agree. Batman, Neil Adams. We talked about that.
Yes.
Punisher. Here's an interesting one. Marco Cheeseito.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought he was amazing.
But is he my definitive
Batman? He's not
my definitive Punisher.
I go to either John Romita Jr., who I just love the way that he draws the Punisher.
Yeah.
Or who's the guy that drew the first miniseries?
Mike Zeck.
Was that Mike Zeck?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Zeck's Punisher. Mike Zeck's Punisher was awesome. Those covers, I will never forget those covers where he's like rappelling down the apartment building with a bazooka.
Now, that is not a Mike Zeck cover.
Who was that?
I don't remember, but I don't think Mike Zeck drew that cover.
I can't remember who that was.
But he did draw that iconic where it's like number five. Number four, number five, where Punisher's back is against the wall and he's firing these guns.
Oh, love
and
it.
And the bullets are hitting all around him.
I love it.
Yeah. Man, who is my definitive Punisher artist? John Romita Jr. is a good one. But for me, it might be a more modern one like Jerome Opeña or somebody that did, or Ariel Olivetti, you know? Like one of those guys that...
Yeah, I did not care for Ariel Olivetti's Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
It just like drew him a little too like meaty and kind of like almost cartoony. I didn't like it.
You know, if I had to get real with myself for a second, I think when I close my eyes and think of the Punisher, I think of Jim Lee's Punisher.
Really?
From Punisher War Journal.
Okay. I like that one a lot. But John
Romita Jr. A younger, hungrier Jim Lee.
John Romita Jr. is definitely my definitive Punisher artist.
Yeah, that's fair.
He was always unshaven. John Romita Jr., I think, may be the first person to draw him completely unshaven.
All right. Well, Andrew McBride says, in reference to his pick, the Punisher should always have an eye patch and a beard.
Right on.
Walt Simonson Thor, Todd McFarlane Spider-Man, Superman, he says Kurt Swan.
Hmm.
We will talk about Superman later.
Okay.
Iron Man, Bob Layton.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Without a doubt.
I agree with that. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I mean, that's what we all grew up with. Well, not all of us. Some of you are actually young people and still enjoying your life.
he says he can't decide for Hulk or Captain America. I don't think it'll come up again. Who's your definitive Hulk artist?
That is a tough one. Jesus. Like, this is another one. Like, I love the way Jack Kirby drew the Hulk.
Oh, see, and I am not fond of Jack Kirby's Hulk.
Oh, he looked like an orangutan. He was like an ape hunched over. Like, just ridiculous. But not my favorite. I think I have got to go with either...
My definitive Hulk artist is Dale Keown.
I think that's where I was going.
Or Gary Frank.
That's where I was going.
Or Gary Frank, who followed Dale Keown.
I loved Dale Keown's Hulk. I loved it. It was so freaky big. You know, like, I think I'm with you. I think Dale Keown.
Yep.
I think that's...
Captain America.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one.
I love Mike Zeck's Captain America. I love John Byrne's Captain America so much.
Yes, 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 yes.
But my definitive Captain America artist, I think, is Steve Epting.
Yeah, it's hard not to say that because the Epting-Brubaker run was just so damn good, and he was so solid on it for so long. But it, like, I think he was really recalling a lot of what guys like Mike Zeck did, though.
I don't know, man. I mean, maybe, but I think Steve Epting is in a league of his own.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to Steve Epting for my Captain America artist.
Who was on the first Mark Waid run?
Ron Garney.
Ron Garney.
I almost said Ron Garney, but his run is actually relatively short.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got to go with Steve Epting. I think you're right.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Jim Stafford says, Hellboy, Mignola, boom, done.
Well, yeah.
Well, come on. Way to pick a softball.
Screw that. Duncan Fergredo.
Though I do really love Duncan Fergredo's Hellboy.
Yeah. No, but I mean, come on.
Mignola, yeah. Yeah. We don't even have to
give
talk
me a break.
All right. There's been a great number of artists over the years to draw Superman, but for me, they're always second fiddle to Kurt Swan. This is Matt Deanman. I love Kurt Swan.
I love Kurt Swan.
This is hard for me because I'm a huge Superman fan.
This says that Mike Zeck did do the cover of The Punishers. Mike Zeck and Phil Zimmerman.
I don't know if he did the number one cover. It's so different than the rest of them.
Number one is one with his back against the wall with the bullets.
Oh, I'm thinking of Punisher number one ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where that's the one you're thinking of, where he's coming down from the scaffolding.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Mike Zeck did all the covers for the...
For the mini.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. Helpful information.
Superman. You know what? Mine's super... pardon the super puns.
Wonk, wonk.
Mine's fairly recent. Ed McGuinness. I loved Ed McGuinness's Superman.
That is a good answer, but Ed McGuinness... I mean, not to discount it, but Ed McGuinness is... Superman is very, very reminiscent of the old, though he bulked him up a lot, he's very reminiscent of the old Fleischer cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, you can't see his eyes, you know? It's like his eyes are closed. Oh, which is also very similar to the way C.C. Beck drew Captain Marvel in the 40s. That kind of barrel-chested guy, you can't really... His eyes are almost closed all the time.
He's beaming with a smile. Yes. Yeah.
And that's Ed McGuinness' Superman, which is great.
I loved it.
I love Wayne Boring, who was Golden Age Superman artist. I love Kurt Swan, Superman artist, probably more associated with the character than any other artist ever. Outside of Siegel and Schuster.
Are you going to say Dan Jurgens?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I do love Dan Jurgens as Superman.
I do not.
I can't help it.
I do not.
But for me, my definitive Superman is John Byrne.
All right.
100%.
That's not a bad answer. Not a bad answer at all.
John Byrne introduced me to my version of Superman that I love and cling to and that I think of every time I complain about DC. You know, that the version of Superman where he associates with humanity, where he considers himself part of humanity, not an alien, where he doesn't say, Clark Kent is the mask I wear, call me Cal.
And to be fair, I think John Byrne is a much better answer than my answer, speaking historically. I'm just going with my favorite Superman.
And that's fine. It could be different for, like, someone who's not necessarily...
A run on the art that I will just never forget.
Yeah. You know? But John Byrne, Superman...
Yeah, no, that's an excellent answer.
Like, I will treasure that run of Superman forever. I love it. I love it so much.
Good call.
Yeah. But man, props to Matt for coming up with Kurt Swan.
Yeah.
I love that dude. I missed one, so let's go back. Shane Vanek. He's probably not the definitive artist for any one character, and it's not fair to compare him to monthly guys, but I'll say Alex Ross for the Justice League, because he draws the definitive version of each of those characters. His interpretation of Superman especially, I've never thought of him as being ripped or defined. The barrel-chested farm boy / 20s strongman look is my father's, my own, and will be my kid's Superman. That is very well said.
Right on.
And I totally agree. I love that version of Superman where it's not like you could see all of his abs and he's got all the muscles.
Yeah, he's not. He just kind of looks like a well-built guy.
He's just a big beefy dude.
Yeah.
And to be fair to my John Byrne answer,
Joe Patrick just loves big beefy dudes.
I do.
There's nothing wrong with that.
To be fair to my John Byrne answer, John Byrne did draw him a little bit more muscularly and defined than Alex Ross did, and I think Alex Ross does a brilliant Superman.
Oh yeah.
And I would not blame anyone if they said that their Superman was Alex Ross's Superman.
That's fine.
As far as the rest of the Justice League, yeah, I mean, you can't say anything bad about the way he draws those characters.
No, his Batman's amazing. His Wonder Woman is beautiful. I mean, his Flash is kick-ass.
I will say, I think what removes me a little bit from my love of some of those interpretations is that they're photo-referenced off of real people.
Of course.
That he knows.
Sure.
And that is fine. For the most part, but I like, this sounds weird, but I kind of like it when my characters look a little bit more nebulous.
No, that's acceptable. That's acceptable. And I mean.
And he just so happened to find the number one perfect person to portray Superman.
He's got a guy.
and his Batman as well is also amazing.
Right. No, my JLA is Howard Porter. Well, I said it earlier.
But that's that is a great answer, Shane. I know you're not really a DC guy, so thanks for answering it.
It's hard to be these days.
It's true.
I get it.
It's true. And we'll wrap up the Facebook answers with Martin John. Check out his comic, Foreign Matter. It's totally awesome. I've got a copy. I'm even reading it.
Hey, all right.
I promise that I'm reading it.
Hey.
I just got distracted halfway through.
I don't have a copy.
He sent me one copy. I have a copy.
You're hogging it.
I am hogging it.
All right, hog.
Well, I've had it for a while.
What does he say?
Swamp Thing and Bernie Wrightson.
Yes.
Wrightson was and is and always will be an illustrator of horror, and monster horror is where he feels the most at home.
Without a doubt,
yes. You can argue this one a little bit. Pardon me. You can argue this one a lot, but Wrightson paved the way for Bissette and Totalbin and Rick Veitch on the title by allowing full immersion into the world of Swampy. Listen. 100% agree.
Totally.
I've got...
No question.
What I think of when I think of Swamp Thing, I think of the cover of the black and white Swamp Thing reprint digest that somehow I received as a 3 or 4 year old child.
Wow. Some heady stuff for a 4 year old.
Back in the day, Marvel and DC used to do a lot of book market stuff. You could go buy a paperback book.
And they would be in like toy stores and
or even like normal bookstores.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, the format was shit. They're black and white reprints and they're reformatted. Like the panels are chopped and rearranged weird.
It was the cheapest crap they could do.
But I had a bunch of them. I had a Spider-Man one. I had a Swamp Thing one. And it just so happened to be the original Swamp Thing stories.
I don't think I owned any of those.
By Wrightson and Len Wein. And when I think of Swamp Thing, I think of the cover of that book, which I don't even know if it's the cover of... Is it the cover of Swamp Thing number one? I don't know. It's just, it's Swamp Thing rising out of the swamp like many covers are.
Yellow cover?
No, I remember it being blue like night, and then, you know, he's rising out of the murk. Regardless.
Let's find it.
That's what I think of. Bernie Wrightson. And that book, his artwork lends itself so well to black and white that it was actually a much better introduction to his work to me than his color work would be. Like seeing it in that gorgeous black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Just all black line and shadow.
Okay, but it was a blue header for the title, and it was like a yellow cover.
Here, show me.
Here you go. I'm going to scare you. Get ready. You ready to be scared? Holy crap!
No, that's not it.
Okay. I love that.
It's him from the front. Yellow. You can see him from the front.
That's one thing number one.
Yeah, then that's not it.
Okay.
But yeah, I absolutely agree 100%, Martin. And
totally.
Matt does as well.
Totally.
There's no arguing.
I own a Bernie Wrightson sketch. Swamp Thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Okay. Martin also says, I'm going to say Conan by John Buscema. Muscled, tanned, rings all over his arms, and fighting a huge monster. My first Conan black and white was a Buscema, followed closely by Frazetta. I agree.
Barry Windsor-Smith.
Yeah, somebody earlier said Barry Windsor-Smith. Yeah. I disagree. For me, my Conan is John Buscema's Conan.
All right.
Martin, you are totally right. I'm right with you. I had some old Conans from the early 80s that my grandparents had at their house. Conan fighting giant spiders, and an annual where he fights a giant squid.
Yes.
And
I still have that.
For me, I like, ugh, this art is so amazing.
I think John Buscema's Conan is vastly underrated, but I still think BWS is
look,
my guy.
Look, even today, as an adult with a full appreciation of Barry Windsor
he's
Smith,
still great.
I look at John Buscema's and say, yep, that is the best. That is my number
one great.
Conan.
Not my number one.
That's all we got for Facebooks.
All right. Let's go to the Google Voice. You can always call us at 402-819-4894, and you can tell us your answer. Let's see. I think this first one is Sean X again. Google Voice likes to call him Shauna.
No offense.
Hey, guys. Sean X calling in with the question, or I guess the answer of the week for your question. It was pick a character in the definitive artist. And this is a tough question. That's awesome, but it's a tough one because who do you pick? Because you got like Maliv on Daredevil, Romita Jr. on Spidey, Simonson on Thor, pulled up Bray Fogle on Batman. But the one that was like just sticking in my head, I kept figuring Colossus. And there's been a lot of awesome artists on that. I mean, Romita Jr. back in the day, you know, Mutant Massacre. And then even when he was throwing a tantrum on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, then there was Kerry Dodson, who worked on it in Excalibur, but also later in Uncanny, and his style totally changed, and that was a great design. Art Adams was fantastic with Colossus. But definitive artist, we have to go to John Cassidy, because when he drew the Return of Colossus in the pages of Astonishing, his Pichor and his Colossus itself were just amazing. Colossus was like a statue, and Pichor had so much emotion, and he just felt like, you know, I don't know. It grabbed me. That I'll have to go with that. John Cassidy, Colossus, but he can pretty much draw a lot of people. His Wolverine's good, too. He draws them all run. Bye. All right, anyway, I'm babbling. Fantastic question. Keep them coming. And Clark, you're doing really good. Don't listen to what those other people say. Just follow Joe's lead, and you'll get there. You'll get there. Love the show, guys. Keep them coming.
Call right. back.
I'm trying so f***ing hard.
So the pull list as we knew it is no more.
Pull list is no more, but Sean will be back with a new podcast soon.
Yep, the dudes are coming back, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I liked the pull list a lot. It was good.
But yeah, they're retooling. They're going to do a little something different.
Colossus. Let's talk about Colossus. That's a good one. This is a really good one. And I was tempted to say Arthur Adams, but I go straight to Jim Lee. I mean, I just go straight to Jim Lee's Colossus. That was a Colossus that I fell in love with back in the day.
Like, I'm thinking back to John Byrne's X-Men, and his Colossus isn't really... I mean, it's fine, but...
No.
It's not what I think of.
It wasn't like Jim Lee's.
Dave Cockrum, who created the character, who co-created the character.
Dave Cockrum is probably my definitive Nightcrawler. He draws my favorite Nightcrawler.
Man, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's a hard question.
Not for me, suckle.
Yeah, Jim Lee's good. I can't think of anybody that drew the X-Men after Jim Lee, though. Why can't I?
I don't know. There's been lots of people.
Andy Kubert, Carlos Pacheco.
Yeah. I did like Andy Kubert's Colossus a lot. Andy Kubert was really good at making Colossus look furious.
Yeah, I'll go with Jim Lee.
Okay.
I'll go with Jim Lee.
Peer pressure.
Just because I can't
peer
think of
pressured
anybody.
Into Jim Lee.
Just because I can't think of a better option.
Moving right along.
Hey, nerds. What's up? This is Zach Hollowell calling in for the answer of the week. You wanted what artist? Just this exemplifies a character. I'm not really going to go with just a character. I'm going to go with a team. Back when I was a young child, I was at my older brother's friend's house, and he gave me a big stack of comics that I brought home, and that was my introduction to comics. And my younger brother got really jealous, and it culminated into a fight that ended with me biting him and getting grounded. So when I was grounded going through these comics, there were a lot of X-Men issues, and that became my comic. And there were some John Byrne issues. And to me, when I think of X-Men, that's what I think of. I mean, there's been great, like Jim Lee, Dave Cockrum, Arthur Adams, even though he didn't do a lot of stuff. You know, they're all great, but for me, it's really those John Byrne, Chris Claremont issues. That's, I think that best exemplifies when I think of it. That's the first thing that comes to mind every time. Also, maybe it's a little bit cheating, but I got to say, Mike Allred and Madman. True, that's his comic. He's the only one who's ever drawn it. but I think his art style lends itself so well to that character and how he feels and how he acts. It's just, it's perfect. It fits well. So that's all. Thanks, Nerds. See ya.
Solid answers. All of those solid answers. We touched on those, and I totally agree.
I agree that
he just shot down your John Byrne X-Men right there. Just shot you down.
No. Like I said, specifically John Byrne's Colossus is not what I think of when I think of Colossus. But when I think of the X-Men, I don't think of anybody but John Byrne.
All right.
I mean, even though, like Zach said, there have been so many great artists to do that book. For me, John Byrne's X-Men will always be the definitive version of that team. Just like George Perez's Teen Titans will always be the definitive version of the Teen Titans.
All right. Moving right along. Cameron Labrillo calling in. We're going to play his second call. His first one was a bit of a joke. So we're going to play the second
one.
All right, sure. We'll go in order then.
Hey, two-headed nerd. This is Camarillo Brillo calling with my answer to the question of the week. But first, I want to address the fact that Matt called me out on my ability to use technology. All I want to say is, contrary to popular belief, I'm very...
Here we go.
Hi, two-headed nerd. This is Camarillo Brillo again. I had my 4-year-old son dial my iPhone for me so that it would operate properly. My answer for this week's question is, of course, Walt Simonson on Thor, but I imagine that one's going to be taken. So my close second choice would be Kevin Eastman on the Ninja Turtles. I've read a lot of Ninja Turtle comic books, and some people have some really cool looks of the Ninja Turtles, even some of the alternate covers with Sam Keith and Walter Simonson himself. But all had really good takes on him. But Kevin Eastman's original Ninja Turtles and the issues he's done lately for IDW, where he's stepped in and done some of the artwork once again by himself, been amazing. And that's exactly how I want the turtles to look and how they move and how they New York around them looks. Fantastic art. It doesn't get any better than the original creator on those. And that's my answer. Thanks.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Totally agree.
I have no response to that because I have read alarmingly few Ninja Turtles comics.
I've read quite a bit. I didn't read a lot of the Archie
I have never
stuff,
read the original stuff ever.
Really?
Oh,
it's fantastic. And definitely Eastman is what I think of.
I had the comic book adaptation of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
I don't think that counts.
But it was drawn by a guy, I believe his name was Jim Lawson.
Okay.
Who drew a bunch of those old Turtles comics.
All right.
Not just the movie adaptation. And so I guess that's kind of who I think of when I think of Turtles in comic form.
I barely count that.
I think he actually drew real Turtles comics other than just that one.
That's fine.
But
I think you have to go with Kevin Eastman. I don't think there's a choice.
I don't have any frame of reference.
Well, then just go with Kevin Eastman.
I refuse, sir.
Oh, please. You big baby. He invented them. Come on.
I get it, but look. I have to face facts. I have to be honest with my listeners. I've never read Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird's Ninja Turtles.
There you go. We'll tear off another nerd stripe.
That's my secret shame. Are you happy now?
Ripping another stripe
you
off
asshole.
Your uniform.
I thought we were friends.
You just got bumped back down to private. Congratulations. Great answers from everybody. This is a really fun one. Okay, I just want to address one thing because nobody brought it up. Wolverine. Wolvie.
Well, then who is it?
Man, it's a tough one, but nobody brought it up. Frank Miller is right where I go because those Frank Miller issues, I will always picture him with the crossbow, lighting the cigar, the funny spiky hair, which I think Frank Miller may have been the first guy to really give him the spiky hair, wasn't
no,
he?
No, he always had that hair. John, no, but I mean, Dave Cockrum.
The really definitive points, I mean, like...
Well, okay, yeah, like the outrageously huge points,
yeah.
Maybe, but I mean, his hair has always been in that shape.
And the Claremont Miller... I mean, Frank, the Claremont Miller Wolverine miniseries, man, it's still just beautiful.
Yeah, it's good, but I think I still think of John Byrne when I think of Wolverine.
Okay.
Or I think of Adam Kubert.
Yeah.
That's
a great answer.
You know what? Wolverine is a character that I don't necessarily attribute to one artist. I love Adam Kubert's run. He had a long run. Linnell Francis Yu. For sure.
Beautiful.
Who drew that book.
Beautiful run.
With huge success in the 90s.
Steve Scrooge drew a very short.
3 issues is all.
It was so good. I want him back. Please, Steve Scrooge, come back. Draw anything.
But yeah, I think when I think of Wolverine, it's definitely John Byrne's Wolverine.
Yeah.
Even though it's such a different character now than it was back then.
I get Miller and Cockrum is where I go.
Yeah, fair.
So, great answers from everybody. I had to sneak that last one in because nobody mentioned Wolvie. Come on, guys. Dropping the ball here. Really. We'll be back this weekend with another exciting edition of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. We have sort of switched up our name a little bit to help with some search guidelines, but hey.
We're still the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Cast. It's just on paper.
It turns out we were dummies when we named this thing.
On paper, we might refer to ourselves a little differently.
Thanks again, guys. And don't be afraid to call us again at 402-819-4894 and leave us your answer to the question of the week. See you guys soon.
We'll have another question up this Friday.
Baba Booey.